in the form of question that you can ask. And input from your knowledge of the subject and the text, and also seeking clarification, and also correcting in any area that you may see the need to correct anything that is being said. We welcome those kind of input. Okay, we are going to be picking up on page 4. There is a point, I'm just making sure. I'm coming. Just there's a point I think I have covered in the introduction. I'm just give me a minute. I just want to make sure if it's stated further along. Okay, I'm going to deal with it anyway. Yes, as I've said, we are going to pick up on page 4. At B.
God's word speaks of or acknowledges at least three areas of headship or authority, namely proper headship or authority or order in the church, in the home, and in civil government.
Repeat that reading for us, brother. Brother Webb.
God's word speaks of or acknowledges at least three areas of headship or authority, namely proper headship or authority or order in the church, in the home, and in the civil government.
This is a fact. You know, I think the statement was made last week that God is a God of order. And in every institution that God has given man or give his sanction to, the Almighty God has left order. And that order always involves stratification of authority, priority. You have that in the civil society. Where in the book of Romans it tells us that we must be subject to the higher power. And it tells us that there is no power but that of God. And it went on to imply that the people who serve in the various aspects of government, in one form, they are ministers of God. Not in the same way that a preacher or an elder or a deacon or whatever is minister. It's in a different form. But you see, the Almighty God wants order in every aspect of society. By nature is that type of God. And that is good for his cause. That's why, as heinous, as ungodly, as immoral as slavery was, the Almighty God did not propose that Christianity set out to uproot slavery in a head-on clash, because that would not be good for Christianity. God's method is that the very nature of Christianity, a person could not accept Christianity and still hold slave. Sooner or later, he will see that it is contradictory, because you are exploiting your fellow human being. You are using a fellow human being for your own material gain without proper compensation. Polygamy, the same thing. So God is a God of order. I want to point this out. The subject of head covering that we are looking on, and remember, we are now in the text. We are going verse by verse. No, I've gotten a question or two, and I will address it in a few minutes. Yes, the subject of head covering. What happened with head covering is a very good example, but it's not just an example, a warning. Follow me now. What we see happen to the subject of head covering, it's an example and a warning in respect to how drifting from plain teaching of the Bible can be blatant and yet subtle when we find teaching we do not like, or when we find teaching that is inconvenient to our inclination. You find that we will ignore, we will step on, we will twist passages to justify things that are totally blatantly contrary to the teaching of the Bible. I was looking for it. I still didn't find. I may run into it, but I know it's in the lesson. My mind, just in my head, that I covered that in the introduction. I know I have said it many times. And it could be that I've said it a few times since we got started 2-3 weeks ago. And that is the fact that up to the early 20th century, anywhere you go in the religious world, men and women who claim to accept Christianity. They might be denominational people, but they claim that they accept it. Women covering their head in worship was the norm. In everywhere in the world, it was the norm. Until page 33. I've stated this many times. In the late 20th century, reading from Warren Endison, Glory Seen and Unseen. In the late 20th century, American women opted for hats in lieu of bonnets and veils worn by the European women. Many women in Protestant circles began wearing huge hats, nicknamed Merry Widows. That's what the hats were called, Merry Widows. That was in the 1890s. Ladies' fashion erupted with provocative styles during the Roaring Twenties. That is like the 1920s and onward. During the Roaring Twenties, women were flaunting more of their skin, meaning they were showing more of their bodies in the way they attire themselves. Women were flaunting more of their skin and hair, that is their hair, in public. After a frenzy of fashion changes, the hat was no longer the norm in public attire. By the 1930s, women forfeited their hats for the opportunity to show off their long hair. That's where, little by little, covering in public worship was thrown one side. It took only another 20 years before women generally grew tiresome of wearing hats during Protestant religious service. Only another 20 years, which means by the 1950s, it was no more fashionable for women in most quarters to cover their head in worship. But up until then, you go to Europe, you go to Asia, you go to Africa, you go to South America, North America. Once people claim they believe the Christian religion and read the Bible, women were covered and men were not covered. Women in Roman Catholic Church generally continue wearing veils until the 1970s. So Roman Catholic women continued to cover up until about 40 years ago, where they too get in the fashion where some covered, some don't. So what we, as I've said, And rightly so, I left here in 1962 to go and study about 5 years, came back in 1971-72, and by then the Jamaica School of Preaching has gotten started and the Americans were telling the Jamaican preachers that it was a custom. What I find alarming is that there was nobody to go and study the Bible more and show the American missionary that they were talking foolishness. I find that alarming. You know what? It tells how gullible some of us are. Amen. Amen. Truly. Truly. My God, if a person comes and says, did you know that you all are baptizing wrongly? And they give a reason why using a pool that we make is not the right place. We need to do it either in sea or in river. We're going to just take it like that? No, God gives us his ready. We are expected to go and spend more time studying. So this is what I find it fearful. Truly fearful in that, are we that gullible? Are we that easily led? Because as I said, when you study what I'm reading here, and this is just one, remember, one of the nights during this study, I'll be having no less than probably 8 to 12 commentaries by Church of Christ, various denominations. And we're going to look at what they say about the passage of 1 Corinthians, because 98 to 100% of them are going to point out the reason why women are to cover in the worship. Church of Christ, for a different reason, I brought this. This is Church of Christ, New Testament epistle. Anyone here knows who David Lipscomb? One of our university is now named after David Lipscomb. He's one of the pioneer leader in the Church of Christ in the state, and he was a scholar. You see, David Lipscomb University, is it in Tennessee? Is his name of him. And on a different note, he will just be commenting on a verse. But there's one session, we'll be just looking at what different commentators say. And he will be one of the commentaries that we look on. When that time comes, as I've said, I know I'll be having many commentaries from Church of Christ, scholars on the subject, denominational scholars who take up the text and show reason, scriptural reason, that the women are to be covered in worship. You know. So back to my point. What's happened to the subject of head covering? It's a warning to us in respect to how easy it is for people to drift, and we should take warning. Okay? Let me deal with the question. I'm coming because I remember I have a I'm coming. Mm-hmm. Yes, the question was handed to me just since I came, but I know in my notes here I have a point that would just today, I think I was looking on that point. I soon read the question. I have so much notes. The question has to do with the passage of in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 3, some translators have the word husband instead of man. Kindly comment on this variation. Very good question. I'm trying to, let me just see if it's in my notes here, because I do have something on that, that I just want to anyway, the fact remain, the fact is, the word that is translated there, may I? The word husband is misleading. It is incorrect. I'm going to repeat that. The word husband is not the word by which the appropriate Greek word translated there. The passage is not dealing in that statement with relationship. It is dealing with gender. I'm going to, I ran into that note just today, looking over my lesson. Just a minute. I ran into some notes I have on that very point. And it's along the point that I have just stated that the passage is gender directed, not relationship. Husband would be emphasizing a relationship. While a man would be emphasizing gender. Anyway, I know I run into that. I hate when I see something like that just today, and now when I didn't need it, I see it. Anyway, let's just a minute, let's go on. I wasn't looking for that today. Was just going over my lesson and running to it. As I've said, it's along the point that I've just stated, but there might be certain point in those notes that might be further help to you. Anyway, we will run into it. I just don't understand. Okay. Anyway, let's get back to where we were for. So we have seen that in the church, in the home, and in civil government, there is that headship, and all of it goes back to the fact that God is a God of order. We want to remember in verse 3. Verse 3 is a key verse in the entire study of the subject of head covering, or the passage of 1 Corinthians 11, 1 through 16. Verse 3 laid down the foundation, and the whole point is, as long as this, as long as the relationships that are laid down in verse 3 remain true, the need for women to be covered in worship and for men not to be covered will be an obligation or a responsibility of all children of God. Let me make sure we understand. Verse 3 laid down the foundation upon which the head covering or the not covering is based. Everything which comes after verse 3 will be dependent on this creative truth principle that God laid down from creation. That God is God has priority over Jesus Christ as Son. Jesus Christ has priority over man. Man has priority over woman. As Brother Bramley pointed out last week, that throughout the New Testament, You find in other passages, not necessarily dealing with the subject of head covering, but dealing with God's priority, our stratification of authority, our headship, that the same principle is laid down. The covering or not covering, because one of the things that is easy to forget, and partly is because a man coming to worship, normally he doesn't cover his head. So we do not have as much contention with that as with the women who are required to be covered. The covering or not covering is a symbol, meaning it stands for something. What it stands for was not determined by man or by custom or by angel. It was determined by God. We don't reach quite 4 yet. Read verse 4, let me hear.
Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head.
May I? Why is it that when a man prays, preach or teach with nothing on his head, he is honoring Jesus Christ, his head? Why is it so? Why just having his head as is, honor his head? A single biblical answer to that is because God says so. That's right. That's it. God could have easily set some other conditions by which we honor Jesus Christ in that form. Now, for us to go and find also a complicated reason why we should or shouldn't, and then ignore what God said. Simply, don't cover your head, men. Can we accept that? It is that simple and easy to be understood. And God, for his own reason, God could have said to the women, when you come to worship, tie a piece of blue string around your arm to show submissiveness. And that would be it if God had asked for that. Remember in verse 3, the word head does not refer to the physical head. It refers to authority. That's the concept there. It's authority. Before we move on, there's probably another. Okay, could we have? Yes. Mm-hmm.
I was just wondering if that could be a reason why a man should not have long hair, because it is said to us as females that our hair is a covering. And I was wondering if when we go out to teach other persons, in regards to the man having long hair, if that could also be tied to the whole covering situation.
Prim, let me put it like this. In almost every culture throughout civilization as we know it, I mean, we can look back in ancient history right up to now, different tribes, races, nationality, countries, the hair was always a distinction in respect to gender. You can go back as far as we can. Women usually always have longer hair than men. Yes, friend, there are times when men permit their hair to grow long. It's not the norm. It's not the rule. It becomes the exception. So we do have some men with long hair. But the normal thing throughout any country you travel to now is that women have longer hair. And that is God's way ever since of showing the difference in gender, the difference between male gender and the female gender. God is the one who fixed it like that, that women have longer hair. And the Almighty God, part of God's purpose there is that that is also part of women's femininity. That's what makes a woman a woman. The task about her hair is her beauty or glory, whatever. You see. So while we do have some men who decide to grow longer hair, it is not the normal thing. And even in society where men may permit their hair to grow long, you can usually have two persons turning their backs to us, and the man has long hair, the woman has long hair. You can usually know the female from the male. You see, God fixed it like that. Now, mark you, there are times, in our times, I have been many times with people, I mean, even recently, many times where it might be Sister Mitchell and myself, and I'll be saying, is that a man or a woman? And it's not just the hair. It's usually many things. You know, I have a lesson here that I preached years ago, searching for identity. Very pointed lesson, where people will fix themselves certain way, and after a few years they change. It's like they don't know who they are. And we do have that. You see, they don't know who they are, and they are trying to find an identity. Men who see wear the rubber slampata, we call it in the country, and they walk with their stick like people in the time of Christ. They don't realize that that was the culture, and the time called for that. And there are a lot of things that they don't, and these are people searching to find out who they are. They don't realize we don't live in that setting, and our setting does not call for that. They don't know that. You see. So women were by God given the long hair to show that she is a woman, she's a female. That men sometimes permit their hair to grow longer than would expected, that does not remove or eradicate what God thinks. Yeah.
Brother Mitchell.
Just a minute. I heard Neville's voice.
I'm not finished
yet. Yes, go on.
I was just saying that we know that a man should not have his hair long, right? Mm. So if it is that we have somebody in the church whose hair is long, if it is that we can use this as well to tackle that person or to, you know, correct that person to say that a man, because if you look in verse 4, it says that every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. So,
okay.
What about the hair?
But the hair is not the covering. You see, Prim, if the hair were the covering, every time we men come to church, we would have to shave. Not just get a haircut. Not just get a haircut, you know. We would have to shave bald. That's right. You see. And the point that you hear sometime out there that the Bible says her hair is given her for a covering. I think either verse 6 or verse 7 takes care of that. Because verse 6, we don't get there yet, but it says, if the woman be not covered, which of the verse? Verse 6, let her. Don't underestimate this word. Let her. That is, while she have her. It's H. H. A-I-H-A-I-H. This is here when you are listening. That is this. You see. Yes. H-A-I-H-A-R. Yes. While she have her here, listen the verse. Read. Verse 6 or 7. Be shown, that is, watch here, that means she have her hair on her head, you know. That's why the passage is really, she should take the disobedience and the rebellion and the shame to the ultimate extreme. If she does not cover her hair, her head, let her also cut off
her
the hair.
Cut.
Let her be shown. We would say, let her be shaven. You see. So what that is telling us, that the hair is not the covering. You understand? If the hair were, then men, every time we come to church, we would have to shave. You all see the point. That is important to see that point. Yes, sure.
Just on the same point, though, Brother Michelle. Does it make it right now that she's shorn?
No.
Because a lot of women cut the hair and.
Yes. No, remember, just a minute. There are two words used in the passage, and we're going to get to it. One is where she used a clip to clip her hair, and the other one, which I think this one, is shaven, which means shave clean. So, but we're getting ahead here. You see, so there are two words, different words. One means we would say scissors. The word used here is really a clip. where you cut the hair, and the other one is where you shave clean. The one in verse is verse 6 we have just read. Yes, that one is where she must shave her head. You know. So probably Sister Reynolds, when we get there, we'll talk a little more about that. Since we are heading there. Who have the mic?
Yes, Brother Mitchell. Mm-hmm. It was actually on the same point that I have, but in a different era. A woman, she has her lovely head of hair and away from sickness, because there are certain sickness cut off her hair.
Mm-hmm.
She'd lose. That woman, she deliberately, it's not sickness, cut off her hair, boil it down, and replace it with false hair. How that fit in? Because that is the norm for society.
Yes, we're still not going that direction yet. The fact is, a woman here is part of her beauty. It's her glory as far as God is concerned. And what we are being told here is that this is why God gave her. When you and I read here, when inspiration says, here is her glory and her beauty and whatever, this is telling us God had that in mind for the woman. Now, what she does with it to satisfy her own self-image, her beauty and whatever, what she does with it is not really what we are looking at, while it's going to come up. We are looking at and what the Bible says in respect to whether a woman should be covered or not covered. You see. But there's no doubt that point you read, some of these definitely will be coming. But what I have to watch is that we don't get sidetracked from the issue we are looking at. What does the Bible said? What does the Bible say about women being covered in worship and men not being covered? You see, I repeat something coming for the question that I've said, that we have to be careful that we don't forget that the Bible speaks to both men and women. We have to be mindful of that. You see, yes, Brother Bramley.
The very point I was about to address, because the issue as it relates to the man being uncovered and the woman covering, it speaks of the principle of honoring God. That is the bottom line.
That's the bottom line.
With it is curious, two quick points. It is very curious to me that throughout my travels, mm-hmm. and especially where we are working there in Mile Gully, even persons apart from denominational men
uh-huh.
who go to church and go to funerals and this sort of thing, but persons who are regular, no disrespect intended, we would call Romas
mm-hmm.
and the dancehall people, when they come in the presence of our street meeting, the men take off their head covering.
That's right.
It is a... These are not religious persons.
It's not just my almost anywhere.
Yeah.
And you see, men will come, and a lot of time they don't come under the tent.
Yeah.
But even standing outside, you'll see that whatever they have, yes. They take it off. That's right.
That's right.
That's right. And that is a fact.
The second point
I'd like to address with respect to what Sister Prim was saying earlier on.
Yeah.
With men having long hair.
Yeah.
It is a fact, a scientific fact, that in distinguishing the sexes,
mm-hmm.
that God has designed women so that their hair not only grows longer, but faster.
Yeah.
And so it is not natural for men to have their hair, although it can be grown long, it is not natural for them to keep it long.
Truly.
The question of the principle of honor is discussed again in verse 14, Sister Prim, with respect to a man having his hair long. The Apostle Paul appeals to nature itself.
That's right.
And the Bible addresses this very, very, very clearly.
And what we are...
And directly.
The point you're on in that point, Brother Bramley, is where in the passage he's going to appeal to nature. He's going to appeal to our judgment.
That's right.
Not because those are the reason
the women are to
be covered and the men not covered.
Mm-hmm.
But just asking, when he appeal to judgment, when we reach the passage, we are going to see what the passage is not saying.
That's right.
And what it is saying. He's just asking them to look on the properness.
Yes.
Or the improperness of a thing.
That's right.
When we get to the text, and we're going to show with some other texts, he's not saying it depends on human judgment. That's not
right.
what he's saying.
That's right.
And just like you're saying, dear brother Bramley, that nature, just as you have illustrated, it's just almost anywhere we go, it's just a natural thing that women usually have longer hair than men.
Yeah.
You know, even though we see exception, where sometimes a man will permit his hair to grow long, and we have seen the situation, as Brother Long was bringing up, where sometimes women, for their own personal whatever, may cut their hair. You know, yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. You know. Okay. Time is going. Could we have the rest of G of B? This is very important because it's coming right back to priority. God never, are we all there? Never appoint a woman to be a national priest in the tribe of Levi, to be a prophet or a king. Nationally, we can think of people like Deborah, which serves one as a type of advisor and a type of inspirer. She was a strong woman, and was it Barak who wanted her by his side? Because she was such a strong woman, that she served as an inspiration. And then she was wise enough. She I was about to say instinctively, but she knew that as a man, he had to take the lead. She knew that. And on one occasion, she implied, said, well, look here, if you do this, I'm going to get the glory. You see, because he was a little timid, little fearful, and what. But, what brought up Deborah is that she, among many great women of the Old Testament, she was never appointed by God to be a national leader. Never. Or a priest. You won't find anywhere where God appointed a woman as a national priest, that is to serve the whole tribe of Israel, as he appointed men, or a national prophet to serve the whole tribe of Israel, or as a national king. Or queen, for whatever. Yeah. Okay, time.